ensuring that we are accessible to all persons and communities. As I've indicated that I'm with the DPP, the acting CEO and acting CFO, with the COO, Mr. Muhalaba, and the executive managers also from all the branches in the Public Protector have joined us. We can move to the next slide. Now it's in its fourth year of implementation, the Public Protector Vision 2023 remains the engine that we focus on as the Public Protector in our operations. And to remind members or to jog your memories, this vision is all about how this office is accessible to the grassroots communities, informal settlements, farms, hostels, rural villages and towns. It is anchored on 8 pillars, namely enhancing access to our services, engaging communities in their mother tongue for effective communication, increase our footprint, leveraging on stakeholder relations to advance our interests through MOUs, projecting an image of being a stronghold for the poor as we should be, and ensuring that people are well versed in their rights, and persuading organs of state to have their in-house complaints resolution measures so that they can offload the burden which is faced by the institution, and inspiring the public to be their own liberators. The next slide. So every step we've taken to implement our constitutional mandate is informed by this vision. And this includes the 1,602 COVID-19 complaints which we've received since the beginning of the lockdown. And some of them relate to the 350 a month special grant of stress, and it also relates to the provision of personal protective equipment and procurement irregularities relating to that. And I must indicate to Chairperson that we are estimating a budget of all the resources which were incurred during that time to be around 4 billion. So the investigations in totality, they are around that. We have also embarked on an own initiative investigation into the state of the country's healthcare system and basic education. This is led by the Deputy Public Protector. So the investigation was prompted by public outcry and media reports as a result of the pandemic. To this end, we visited hospitals and schools in various provinces to establish, among other things, how they are coping with the devastation which was brought by COVID-19 and the general state of facilities in respect of whether they are able to render services effectively and efficiently to the public. We will soon publish reports on our findings and observations in this respect. And honorable members, one of the difficulties we face as an institution is our dwindling resources, and we have been also our budget has been also cut, and we have the challenges that we are acknowledging that there are economic challenges countrywide, but then that will impact our mandate seriously. This has given us more reason to continue imploring organs of state to make an effort to establish in-house complaints units in line with the seventh pillar of Vision 2023. This will significantly reduce the number of complaints we receive, thereby freeing investigators' hands to focus on complex matters and improve on the quality of investigations. What's more, this could significantly reduce service delivery protests as well, if properly implemented. But more than just easing our caseload and curbing demonstrations, this approach will see to it that the Public Protector is not doing, or Public Protector South Africa staff are not performing the work of the public servants who are already paid to do that, and they should be accountable in terms of the Constitution. We've already commenced working closely with the organs of state. This is also the Deputy Public Protector's project, where because she has been delegated the administrative justice and ovary investigations. She has established then relations with government patients, administration agency, and the city of Tshwane, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, NSFAS, Higher Education and Training, and Home Affairs. So in this instance, we are assisting these institutions to in their internal complaints mechanisms, and thereafter to address those matters at that level before the public can lodge complaints with the public protector. By way of examples, Home Affairs matters in question relate to refugee permits, delays in the finalization of applications for certificates of naturalization, processing of identity documents and passports, delays to correct birth certificates and to finalize applications for permits by permanent residence applicants. So regarding the GPA, the main issue is the delays in the payment of pension benefits and spousal benefits. The process of amending the Parole Protector Act to remove the force and is another critical step the institution will be taking so that we can see how we can leverage on it due to decreasing budget. If successful, amending the Act will see organs of states whose conduct has been reported to the Parole Protector paying us for the investigations, in as much as auditees pay the Auditor General for audit work. That is how we hope to augment our budget. We are concerned about forensic investigations commissioned by various organs of state at a huge cost to the public, only for the resultant reports with recommendations to gather dust in file cabinets. One of the things we are considering is to enforce the implementations of such recommendations. Alternatively, the money set aside for such investigations could be allocated to us, and the organs of state concerned could use our services instead of wasting money on recommendations that are not going to be implemented. The next slide, another stumbling block for which we require Parliament's assistance is the unwillingness by some of the organs of state information during investigation. In this instance, I'll give an example or bring to the attention of the portfolio committee the difficulties we are seeing in relation to cooperation from National Prosecuting Authority on matters they are involved in. We are not making headway in that matter due to what the NPA says. Sometimes you find that when we request documents, yes, there are sensitivities which are involved in cases, and the challenge is that our mandates are not similar. Their mandate is to investigate criminal matters. We are investigating maladministration, but that will help us. If we cooperate, then we can be able to address the issues or the challenges the country is facing. The next slide. The challenge here is the language which is used in the correspondences which we have with the, when we request such information. And I plead with honorable members to assist in this regard in order that we can work and cooperate and we can make a headway in our investigations so that we can also conclude matters as speedily. As we know that where there's maladministration, corruption thrives. We've seen also that the letters we were receiving from the National Director of Public Prosecutions, also the provincial public prosecutions heads are also writing those or the letters which we receive from them. The tone of those letters is concerning. Yes, we will be bringing this to the attention of the National Director of Public Prosecutions, but I will hope that as the committee where we both report to, it will help that you can intervene and assist us and in a way mediate between the two of us so that we can find a headway and can cooperate more fully. And I would want to also indicate that we're facing challenges, Chairperson, where reports which we've issued, the remedial actions are not implemented, some of them, and you find that they are not taking them on review, and they just keep quiet, and we receive a lot of then concerns from members of the public that the reports we've issued are not implemented. A number of them we will be writing, or we normally write to the speaker so that they can be allocated or they can be disseminated to various portfolio committees, so that the portfolio committees, because you have an oversight over the executive, you can then deal with these issues. But as well, we are seeing a lot of these challenges in the Northwest Provincial Government, which we will also refer to the Speaker of the province, and the city of Tshwane, if it relates to local municipalities, we will refer to the provincial or to the local government speakers. But now there is also a process we'll be taking, DPP will be doing that, where we will be engaging members of the forum of South African Director General for that, so that we can move forward on that. However, I must say that it is not all organs of state that are uncooperative. In instances where we've issued a report and there's a speedy implementation of the matter, the recent investigation we conducted on the asbestos eradication, where the Premier was responsive and the Premier moved with speed to inform the public protector on the implementation of the remedial action. And if we can have such speed in response, or as well institutions where we have referred the matters to, I think we will be able to deal with the scourge of corruption. The next slide, the acting CEO and her team will deal in detail with the performance data. However, I would want to highlight and impress upon the members of the honorable members that the institution's performance has improved drastically. 2017-18, our performance was 50%. 2018-19, it then increased to 70%. And now in 2019-20, we are at 79%, almost 80% improvement. On the corporate governance front, we did well in developing and implementing a turnaround strategy for effectiveness and efficiency. This is done in a phased approach. In the year under review, we implemented phase two of the strategy. We stated we started in the 2020-2021 financial year rather slowly, achieving only 70% in the first quarter. I think the acting CEO will deal more on that matter. And unfortunately, also our operations were adversely impacted by COVID-19 pandemic, because a lot of departments, you find that they were not operational. We also had to suspend our outreach clinics. And also, we had to amend or revise our annual performance plan for the current financial year. As I conclude, I must register my delight at reporting such successes, as will be seen in the part which the acting CEO will be presenting. And also, I must indicate that this performance is encouraging, almost 80%. And in fact, we are improving year by year. And the institution is turning 25 years this year. And those are some of the successes we are celebrating. We are planning as well to have a commemoration of the 25 years of the institution's celebration. And I would also like to express my gratitude to the honorable members for making sure that we fill the post of the Deputy Public Protector, who has also assisted drastically in the improvement of the performance of the institution, especially for bringing in innovative mechanisms in dealing with systemic investigations, strengthening records management within investigation, and ensuring that accountability is clear and personnel within the investigation teams and in her execution of other delegated functions. And I wish to pause here, Honorable Chairperson and members. We remain thankful for your support and count more on you for the future. Can you allow me then to hand over to the